Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Ozzie Guillen.
That's White Sox baseball.
White Sox pre- and post-analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
La Pantera. My main is La Pantera. La Pantera. La Pantera. No. Pantera.
La Pantera.
There we go.
2000 World Series winning manager for the White Sox.
Tying run at second. Two out. Palmeiro. Over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges throws. Out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
No hold bar baseball opinion.
You want to hear here's the truth, a fact, funny, sad, upset, whatever it is. There's nothing, we're not going to lie. We're not going to try to win rating about talking about the ball club. And hey, but what it is they like it, they do it. They don't like it, play better.
Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Haw. On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. And Ozzie Guillen is brought to us by Four Winds Resort and Casino. Four Winds Casinos in New Buffalo and South Bend, your entertainment escape. Now joining us on the Aturo Tire Hotline is Ozzie Guillen. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Oz. How are you?
Ozzie.
Hey, Sweetie Pie. Hi, I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're doing well, Oz. It's great to talk to you. Tell me this. What was the river cruise like that you were on as courtesy of Related Midwest as they took a tour of politicians and you and Bo Jackson to see the lot on the 78 patch of land down in the South Loop? What did you do? How was it?
My God, I was very impressed. I'm not here to selling anything or to say whatever it is, but I think that's going to be great. Outstanding place for the city of Chicago. My God, what they showed the people, it was unreal. It was like a different place. I'm not thinking about the ballpark, thinking about the area, and you know, the rivers next to. They had the train around, unbelievable view. I just remember I told Bo Jackson, Ron Kito, say, you know what's beautiful about this ballpark, guys? When you strike out, and you look to the skyline of the city and say, wow, this is a beautiful thing. It is so, and you know what I mean? I understand. I don't know anything about it. I don't care anything about it. But I wish they don't think about, you know, all the taxes and stuff. I know we all involved with that because we're part of the city. But if they do that, that is going to be not just a baseball game. It's going to be a place to go no matter where you come from. I remember going to Madrid, even you're not a fan of soccer, even you don't even know who the players are, it's a place to go because it's, believe me, it's just outstanding. I'm telling you, just I hope it goes through. If people is against them, I respect them because a lot of people think they, with the taxes and stuff, they got to pay the ballpark or, oh, that's my money or this is my money. I live in this town and I'm going to die in this town. But that's a great idea. When they show us, I was very impressed.
I'm fired up just listening to Ozzie explain that. Ozzie, what would that do, putting yourself in back in the shoes of a player or a manager, to have that kind of environment and atmosphere for the fan base, for the players? What could a new situation do for this franchise?
By the way, that ballpark will be packed for next every day with our ball club. People are going to go there without baseballs on in the winter when the baseball is even play about it. But it's how great it looks. You can walk from the city. You can stay any part. That's how I would, try to say what, you go to Atlanta Braves ballpark. It's just kind of like that. I think it would be nicer because you got water. You got a very skyline. And it can bring a lot of great. Believe me, like I say, when I say something, I meant it. When I say something, I know I'm not a part of that. I'm not going to make one thing out of that. But be a Chicago citizen, love the way I love the city. It's going to be something unique to have. Very, very, very nice. Hopefully, they find a way to go through it. Finally, they get it done. But okay, forget about the White Sox. Okay, the ballpark, can be for the lady basketball gym. That thing is be outstanding. Very proud. Hopefully, that make it because you're gonna feel more proud than you are when you from Chicago.
Great stuff, Ozzie. Let's go on the field. The Sox won 3 in a row. Yes, they won 3 in a row. They were shut out for the 19th time last night, though. Wanted to ask you about story that was in the Sun-Times, and you were quoted in about Yoan Moncada, who was active again, but certainly probably not going to be part of the plans next year. They can buy him out for $5 million. But before they get there, and he has yet to play in his return, I wonder how important Winter League baseball is to him and why you want him to play for you this winter.
Well, first of all, I know the guy. I don't want to say he's a great friend of mine, but he's not, but I know him very well. But I think he has to. He has to. Why? Because he got to see all the ball clubs that he is healthy. All the ball clubs he can still play. You know what? He had that many at-bats, I don't think, next 2 weeks with the White Sox. He should. That the Ramos should get every at-bat they can. They have kids out there. Then they have to see. They might play him maybe 2, 3 games, 4 games. I don't know exactly what they have in mind. But I'll be talking to him about it. Hopefully do it. Not just because play for me. It's just because I know a lot of people in baseball. The first thing they're going to ask me, how's his health? And, but you know what? It's funny. You guys mentioned the $5 million. I will sign him back for $5 million, guys. Sorry. Yes, I don't think Ramos is ready. Or I don't have a second baseman. I don't mind spending $5 million in the guy. We know what's going on. And
that's the buyout. Sure that's the buyout. Yeah, that, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's different. The contract. That's different now. Well, releasing and they signing back.
Yeah, right. Bingo.
Signing back for $200. I mean, it just that's the reason. Not because I love the kid. No, but I think this kid. I talked to him personal. It's embarrassing and sad. He let people down. He let himself down. That's no doubt about it. The way he is, he can rub you the wrong way because he's a laid-back kid. Don't say much. That's the type of the person he is. But he's going to find a job. I'm pretty sure he will. But he's going to be a different contract. He's going to be very, very different contract. And the only way he find a job easier, he has to go play Winter League. I don't want to say just Venezuela. Any Winter League. He can go play. He has to do it because a scout and baseball people need to see him because, the talent is there. And I think coming back out of the injuries, you got to be hungrier. You got to be try to get back what it was for him. And that's the reason I made those comments.
Ozzie, did you get a chance to read or see the ESPN article that Jeff Passan did about spending 24 hours with the White Sox?
No, not yet. Wait, he has spent 24 hours with the White Sox?
He spent 24 hours inside the building with the organization. And actually, I was surprised at how positive the outlook is. And I think that was the point of the article, was to share that things are okay and the guys are doing okay and they're still trying to win in the clubhouse. I'll be curious to hear your thoughts when you do get a chance to look at it.
Well, it's funny because everybody, when you talk to anybody in that ball club, everything is good. Everything's perfect. We're smiling. We're having fun coming to the ballpark. To me, personal, I've been there before, not with that many loss. But when you're losing, nobody's happy. Nobody having fun. And they're saying, well, we're trying. Of course they have to try. They don't have any other choice. And I love you guys in the ball, in that club. I do love them. I respect them. But, man, I wish I can because it's something different. If they think the light of the tunnel is pretty soon, I wish I live and breathe and talk about this ball club every day, and with my family, with my friends. I mean, I got dozens of phone calls from different countries about this ball club, but I think they have to be patient. They have to redo and restart everything and live from there. Like, you know what? We start from the ground, guys. We start from, not like, okay, we're going to pick this guy. This guy, no, he can play with anybody. Just pick him, and we continue to move people around the roster. I think that's the wrong way to do it. I think they got to start over. And no matter how long it takes, live with him. Let people know that's the way it should be. It has to be. And move on. You know, I mean, that's the only reason I can see them go back where the show was. I remember after the trade deadline saying, this is Chris Getz and his people's era. Mm-hmm. From that day to it's done, he can be a ghost or he can be a hero. Because I cannot blame him 1,000%. What he got when he got the job. But from that day, no more excuse, because that's on him and the rest of the people. And they got to start doing the right thing.
Talking with Ozzie Guillen, who will be there Monday, September 30th, for a special fundraising event benefiting Rincon Family Services. Be there with Ozzie to bring awareness and inspiring others at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, OG13.org/golf. Ozzie, part of that story revealed what the Sox have done in the front office. Part of their revamp includes hiring a new job. Brian Mailer is a former Harvard lacrosse player and Navy SEAL with no baseball experience, and he is the new director of leadership, culture, and continuing education. So, and he's given a lot of credit because he has a lot of sway in the organization. As a baseball lifer, as a manager of an organization, what would you feel about answering to somebody who is the director of leadership, culture, and continuing education?
I don't want to respect nobody. I think they hire people just for a reason. But leadership, education, listen, you're talking about education. I got six, seven grades. And look at what I did in baseball. It's just, you know how good player, you're not going to compete. Believe me. It's a thing that might help him. I want to see this guy talk to Ramos about anything, because to see how Ramos understand his points, I had to see and talk to him about what he does before I say I make any comment about him. But if they hire him, he had to be a good reason. They had to hire a coach to me with experience. A coach who can go out there and say, that's the way we're going to do it. That's the way we should do it. That's the way we're going to play. And move on. A guy playing baseball before. If you never wear that uniform and be in the clubhouse, feel like bases loaded, 2 hours and 30,000 people screaming and go crazy, when you don't have that experience, it's hard to convince people about what I know. You know what I mean? And that's one thing about it. You know, players are different. Players have different mentalities. And the manager has to know how to deal with that mentality. You know, I mean, it's not the same way I will treat Paul Konerko than I treat Juan Uribe. There's no way. Different country, different status, different everything. That's why I think if they hire a guy, like I say, I have to talk to him to find out exactly what he brings to the table. It's not. Just not because you have a title, you got to help. And I'm pretty sure they hire somebody to help this organization, because this organization need a lot of help. And hopefully that guy can go out there and do what they like to do, and hopefully be a big part of the winning attitude. And talking with people help, but they don't take you where you want to be. And that's one thing we have to be aware of.
Ozzie, also in this article, there's a line in there that says that because of Getz's approach, because of Grady Sizemore's approach the last couple of months, that Sizemore has to be considered to be the manager next season and be a permanent manager. What are your thoughts on that?
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I wish I could say what I feel. Well, you know, if Pedro Grifo managed the big league, everybody can manage.
Ozzy.
Hey, you asked me about it.
You're not wrong.
And I'm honest. Very honest. You know what I mean? I might be wrong.
You're not wrong, Ozzy.
But I see baseball since I was 16 years old to right now. And Sizemore players love him. Players like him. I want to see Sizemore from the beginning to judge how good he can be. I think he got an important thing when you have players liking a lot, and that's a plus. Respecting a lot, that's a plus. But I don't think players see him as a manager right now. And then we'll start seeing him as a manager since when the spring training starts. That's why you're trying to be a real manager. That's why you start talking like, it's no more fun, guys. This is all about business. I think Simon has something for him. He played the game. He was good in this game. And he wanted to do good. And I think players will respond to him. I think if they hire Sizemore, it'd be awesome. Sizemore had to be around a good coaching staff, good coaches that take a charge of the player from the beginning. Then I think you're going to have a chance to be, I know, a great one, a pretty good manager.
Now it's time for Ozzy's Outlook, brought to you by Four Winds Resort and Casino. Cubs and Justin Steele against the A's. Ozzy, the Sox and the Angels finish up that series. Both are day games. What do you think?
My God, I wish I could say White Sox need to win, man. We went through it before they made this trip, and they had to win two out of three against the Angels twice there and here. And that's the thing. But I will take the White Sox today just because I want them to be good. And also I will take the Cubs. Because I think after the game, Oakland A's been in Chicago for 2 months already. I will take both teams on the Chicago side.
You're the best, Ozzy. Thanks for your time and good luck on your next River Cruise.
Love you, Ozzy.
All right, guys. Thank you, guys.
All right.
See you soon.
Ozzy Guillen from NBC Sports Chicago. So soon to be Chicago Sports Network, looks like, based on the commercials. Ozzy's part of a commercial for the new network. Did you see that?
That was a great commercial, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great.
It got you a little excited.
Excited.
It's emotional for us who have NBC Sports Chicago ties.
Absolutely true.
So,
yeah.
But hopefully, it's good to see that Ozzy's making the transition for sure.
Yes, Ozzy and Chuck still holding it down, still fighting through it, still holding...
God bless them.
Holding court and biting their tongue at times. But they do bring candor to every... game, and the pre and post games are the best part of the Sox game experience.
Pure entertainment, and I've said this all season long. There are times where I don't have the Sox game on, understandably so, but I'll see that they lose, and I'll be like, oh, time to turn on Chuck and Ozzy.
and look, Ozzy spoke about the 78, the patch of land on the South Loop that the White Sox and related Midwest wants to develop into a new ballpark. We asked him about the experience. He understandable. He's a baseball guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to give you chapter and verse about what the tax burden will be for Chicago taxpayers or the responsibility that the White Sox organization has to pony up their own money. We get that. That wasn't the question. We're getting a lot of pushback on the text line. We know Ozzy's not a politician.
Of course not.
He's a baseball guy. They brought him along for the cruise, along with Bo Jackson and Ron Kittle, to give people on that cruise some entertainment value. And believe me, those three guys together, that would be some entertainment value.
Absolutely.
So it's a big challenge. They still have that in their minds related Midwest. We'll get an update about that probably after the season when Jerry Reinsdorf addresses the media like he said that he would. So we'll have to wait to see about that. Cubs and Sox both in action today. Day games. Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, will talk to us next. Justin Steele on the mound for the Cubs. Is that a good idea? That's a good time and a good place to start the conversation with Tommy on Mully and Haw. Ruthie is in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Pitching coach Tommy Hottovy of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover.
Tommy Hottovy, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it at Boston U, Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah. Good, I was answer. A finance major in college, and I had an economics minor. A lot of it was to, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hottovy, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mullin Haw.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hottovy on 670 The Score.
Tommy! Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Having a lot of fun this morning. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. Time now to go to the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com, where we find the Cubs pitching coach and regular on the program, Tommy Hottovy. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Beautiful day outside. You guys have a day game. That's got to be nice. A welcome, although it's a quick turnaround from last night. Might want to get last night out of your system, though. That was a tough one to lose. Tough one to lose to the A's. Let's start with the big news from Tuesday, Tommy, because honestly, I'm not full transparency. Said earlier this morning, I don't quite understand the decision to go with Justin Steele today, given what might be at stake and given the fact that he's coming back from elbow tendonitis. It would seem from the outside looking in, why risk another injury? Why not just let him kind of go into the off season? But obviously, he's going to pitch today. What was the biggest reason why?
Well, I think, you know, with Justin, you know, the one thing we take into consideration with all this is what the player is saying, how he's feeling. And if there was any concerns at all, if there was any concern with what he may have from his own experience of how he's feeling, then obviously he would say something that would change the approach. I think with where we're at right now, it's important for Justin to kind of finish the season, obviously healthy, but obviously strong. There's some things that he still wants to do, things that he wants to continue to work on. He's also a guy that he knows he's not a finished product and wants to continue to grow and get better as a coach, as an organization. It's really fun to be able to work with a guy like that. And he knows we're still fighting. He knows we're still, you know, there's still a chance for us to do some things here that could be pretty special, and he wants to be part of it. So, you know, obviously if there were concerns or high-level concerns or anything that we would, you know, be worried about future with this, then we'd be making a decision. But, you know, right now I think he's ready to go and is feeling great.
I imagine, Tommy, that Justin is, you know, you kind of touched on it, but just, you know, one of those guys that's just an ultimate competitor and does feel like there's still a chance to do something special here in the last couple of weeks. Do you feel like that's feeding into the locker room and to the clubhouse of this is kind of a tone setting moment for the rest of the guys and to kind of ignite them?
Yeah, I think if we were, you know, calling up somebody to pitch in this game today, it would send a completely different message than if, you know, with Justin Steele starting, or if we're having to bump Javi Assad up, who's also, you know, pushing some heavy workload this year too. You know, all of it is intertwined. You know, all of it is affected, you know, with everybody. So, yeah, I think we definitely take all that stuff into consideration. And I think Justin takes that into consideration. And like I said, he's a competitor. He wants to be out there. He wants to be with his team. He wants to continue to try to push and win ball games. And, you know, you definitely feel that with the guys right now. No one's ready to throw in the towel. No one's ready to give up on this season yet. There's still some things we want to do. And obviously, Justin's a big part of that.
So let's go back to Monday night. Shota Imanaga delivers yet again. And, Tommy, you look at his innings workload, 166. He's 14-3, 3.03 ERA. He had a season high in strikeouts, and it's September. All the things that you wondered about in March, all the things that we talked about in terms of conserving him and getting him through a long season because of the differences in the Japanese League and MLB, you've done him right. In retrospect, what have you learned most from the handling of Shota, and how do you describe just how consistent he has been?
I mean, yeah, I think what we've learned most, I think, through this process is that it's a delicate balance to strike when you're trying to conserve workload and protect guys throughout the course of the season. When you're doing it and when you're in it, you're making educated decisions. You're making decisions that you feel like and hope down the road are going to pay off. But in real time, you don't know. You don't know what it's going to look like, you know, 3-4 months down the road. So you're making these decisions. You feel like you're making the right decisions. And look, a lot of times in this game, they don't work out this way. This is one of those cases where I feel like we got a lot of things right this year with Shota in terms of giving the breaks when we needed to and spacing out some starts for all of our guys, because we wanted guys to peak at this time of the year. That was our goal. Our goal was to be peaking at this time of the year and making a push for the playoffs and hopefully in it and doing something special. And so, you know, when you look up and you see a guy like Shota and what he's been able to accomplish this year and to be finishing arguably stronger, you know, than he has all season, you know, that makes you feel good about the process that you had in place through this. And yeah, I think the innings, the performance, you know, all the things he's done off the field have been outstanding this year. What he does, you know, off the field in terms of the, you know, the clubhouse, the teammate, the camaraderie, just the how he's embraced the city, all those things. It's definitely, it's been an amazing journey for him this year, and really looking forward to what we can continue to do with him, you know, in the next coming year.
I wanted to ask, is there something about Shota's personality that surprised you the most as just kind of you get to know him as a person, not just a pitcher?
Yeah, he's very, very lighthearted. He's very laid back. He likes to joke around, which I think was the biggest thing that kind of stood out to me. You would imagine a guy who's pitched, you know, significant innings and years in Japan and some big games, you know, pitching the WBC, kind of to be this, you know, more like serious, you know, calculated individual. And he's definitely calculated. He's definitely thoughtful. But, man, he's got a great sense of humor. He likes to joke around. We can even joke around mid-game between innings about things, kind of keep it light. He likes keeping it light. He doesn't like getting too you know, heavy on different things. And I think that's such a refreshing way to go about this. When you play every single day, we were talking about the NFL season and how when we go to spring training, it's the Super Bowl. And when we get done with the season, they're already in week four of the NFL. It shows you like how long our season is. You need to be able to have that approach, to be able to enjoy the journey, to be able to laugh and joke about things. Because if you don't, it's a long season. It's a long season. And that's the thing I think it's been fun to see from him and let him let some of that rub off and on his teammates. It's been great to see this year.
So last night, Jordan Wicks throws, and then after he left the game, and he did not have a great outing, 4 runs and 7 hits in 5 innings, but they showed him sitting next to, on the Marquee Sports Network, Kyle Hendricks, and just kind of, they talked about how that's the best seat in the house for him, a young pitcher like Jordan Wicks, to be sitting next to Kyle Hendricks, maybe talking through what he did and what's next, and just, you know, because of his experience. Where are you with Jordan Wicks this month or this season? Because he's come back from an injury, tried to contribute in ways. Has he been the same pitcher? What do you expect from him moving forward, Tommy?
Well, I think what we expect moving forward are big things. We obviously believe in Jordan. We believe what he can do. We can believe what he can be in this game as a starting pitcher and what he can be for the Cubs as a starting pitcher. You know, I think we saw this, probably about a month ago with Javi Assad. Guys that miss time, especially young guys that miss time, when they come back, they feel like they got to make up all that lost time. And I think for me, I see Jordan who feels good, feels healthy, is a little bit rusty, and trying to make up for that lost time. And he's looking up at the scoreboard and seeing that he has 45 innings on the year and looking at the end of the calendar and seeing that the season potentially could come to close sooner than, if he had, he's probably a guy that's wishing he had 2 more months of the season to be able to do that. And sometimes when these young guys get in those moments, they want to do a lot. They want to probably do too much. They want to prove something. And for Jordan, I think it's more about just continuing to learn and understand what's going to make him successful. He has a lot of blueprints around him of two left-handed, good left-handing starting pitchers that have had success in this league. Both of them have done it their own way. And I think it's important for Jordan to understand that he doesn't have to follow in Justin Steele's footsteps. He doesn't have to follow Shota's footsteps. There's a path for what he does really well. And just stay in that, stay in that mindset. The fact that he's sitting next to Kyle Hendricks and picking his brain on everything is what every young pitcher in this organization should be doing. And Jordan has the stuff. What he lacked last night was execution. And I would argue that that's probably Kyle's biggest strong suit, being able to execute pitches and throw them where he wants to. And I think that's the next step for Jordan now that he's feeling better, he's back. Feeling like he's getting his pitch shapes where he wanted them and getting things back to being more consistent. Now it's just about executing every pitch. And you saw that last night when he was hitting the spot where he wanted to be, he was in good shape. And then when he missed, there were big misses. And some were way off the plate and some were over the heart of the plate and he got hurt. So, it's been a tough year for him, but I think, he's learned probably more this year going through some of these ups and downs than he would have, being in a more consistent role. So, definitely still expecting big things from him as we continue to move forward.
Also saw 2 strong innings from Daniel Palencia last night. You wonder what his future holds because he's had an interesting season, overcome the injuries. Now he's back. It looked like he was early first couple pitches, maybe struggling with a little command, but then he kind of found his rhythm, Tommy. He's got such talent. He's got a big arm. What do you expect from Daniel Palencia?
I mean, I think we all see the stuff and the velocity, and you look across the field at a guy like Mason Miller, who's high level just thrower of the baseball and an elite thrower, and the velocity he struck out, say last night on a 104-mile-an-hour pitch to end the game. that's who Danny can be. I mean, he's consistently up there. You're looking up, and it's 100, 101, and he's working on this secondary stuff to be more competitive. Because when you throw that hard, guys have to cheat through your fastball. It makes the slider play up. It makes the split play up. And he threw his second inning last night, threw 6 fastballs. basically right down the middle at 100 and got out of the inning with a punch out in 3 outs and 6 pitches. So, look, the sky is the limit for this kid. And again, a lot of these guys have to fight and face some adversity. They learn a lot about themselves when they're injured. And they learn how to handle different things. They learn how to, control their workload and their emotions and all the things that go into it that you just hope guys learn over the course of the year. And that's what makes young guys turn into real pros, and guys that like a Kyle Hendricks or a Drew Smyly who can find a way to stay in this game for 10 years. Both of those guys would be the first to admit they didn't have the best stuff in the world, but they figured out what worked for them. And it's been really fun to see Danny's kind of evolution this year. Like I said, he's got a huge future ahead of him. And if he stays right mentally and focused on what he can control and what he does well, he's going to be really good.
We'll let you go, Tommy, but on the way out, so you saw the 104 from Mason Miller. My goodness sakes, I don't think that you're ever going to catch up to that. 104, you just saw Paul Skeens, who did his damage, and he's a starter. Mason Miller, obviously a closer. Can you compare and contrast those fastballs? I mean, goodness, I don't know how they are consistently throwing that fast.
It's pretty elite. You know, the training environment that, I mean, you look around the baseball industry and how good people have just become at throwing things, just the physical, the biomechanical side of it. We've just learned so much over the last probably, you know, 5 to 10 years. There were people before that that were on top of it, but we have so much more data to kind of, you know, solidify it now. And you know, they're both unique. They both have crazy extension and throw hard. You know, Paul Skeens has a little more run to his fastball, and Mason's a little bit more over the top, but man, they're pretty fun to watch. It's why you want to come to games, to see guys like that compete at a high level with some of the best stuff in the game. And it's been cool to see the evolution of how the game continues to grow.
Best of luck today, Tommy. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hodovy. Cubs back at it today, day game, with Justin Steele on the mound. The explanation, solid. I'll accept it. I don't like the idea, I think, any better than I did before, but they do have reasons for this. And I like the fact that he said, even though we may count them out, they don't count themselves out.
Yeah, and I kind of came to that realization as he was answering your first question of, this could light a fire and really just finish the season well. I know it might not be for much, but at least you're going to be able to control what you can control and try and win some games here.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the idea, but yeah, I guess, I mean, they're competitive.
Yeah.
There's a fine line to walk there, but they're trying to do that. So that is later today. The Cubs finish up their series, try to win that series against the A's. When we come back to Bears talk, did you hear what Bill Belichick said now? Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Surprised to see me here? Well, I am too.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. And we're going back to Bears talk because we got Stacey Dales coming up at 9 o'clock from the NFL Network. Bill Belichick was on the Pat McAfee show. And we talked about the roster construction of Ryan Poles all offseason and in the training camp. We're talking about it now because of the way the offensive line was put together. This is what Bill Belichick had to say about the way the Bears roster was assembled.
I think this is really an issue for Chicago, just in terms of the overall team construction, like the way they decided to do it. You know, you look at a team like Detroit in their division, and Detroit's got three, you know, really good linemen with Sewell, Ragnow, and Decker. And, you know, those guys give generally, you know, golf a lot of protection. You know, the Bears have really put their resources into, you know, a lot of money, a lot of draft choices into receivers. But, you know, they've had problems on their offensive line, and it doesn't really look like that's gotten much better, whether D'Amico brings it or doesn't bring it. They had trouble with a 4-man rush, a 5-man rush, and, you know, just single blocks up there have been a problem for them. So, you know, I like the receivers. I think quarterback's got a chance, but it's tough. And I think it's going to get tougher. AJ, as you know better than I, Chicago in November and December, that's a fun place to, you know, have to rely on throwing the ball. So the combination of, you know, let's say struggle running game and then, you know, having to throw a lot and pass protect a lot, I don't think that's really playing into the strength of, you know, that's not a strength of the Bears team. So not really sure, you know, how they're putting that together. But to, you know, chuck it 50 times in Chicago on a long-term basis just tough.
Wow. Now, there will be some people, Ruthie, that hear that and say, well, hey, he says the quarterback has a chance. So Caleb Williams comes out of that looking okay. Alarming to hear Bill Belichick describe the Bears' offensive line as one that struggled even when they sent four rushers traditionally. And when they pressured, they didn't have a chance at all. you made an interesting observation during the break when we were talking about Bill Belichick about the way that he traditionally looks at assembling rosters and the way he did it in New England.
I think it's fair to say that if Bill Belichick had the number 9 overall pick, forget about number 1 overall. If he had the number 9 overall pick in this year's draft, he was not going to take Roma Dunze there. Belichick, first of all, he never drafted wide receivers in the first round until he did N'Keal Harry when I was back in Providence, and that didn't work out very well. Anyways, Belichick never invested in the skill position. He built around the quarterback and protected Tom Brady, who, by the way, he found in the sixth round. And I think Bill is very protective of the way that he did things because obviously it worked out really well for him. I also was just listening to that again. I'm like, is Bill a little salty that he wasn't considered to be the head coach?
I wonder that. I wonder that when he has said previous things about the Bears.
Because he was very critical of Caleb Williams preseason as well.
Yeah, right.
And I
about the accuracy.
Yeah. But I think the way that Bill Belichick built his teams was through the trenches. And that's not really what we're seeing,
at least
on the offensive side of the
ball.
That's traditional
old school football. That's not modern day NFL when you have to, you know, it's like you want to do both. But back during the draft, Roma Dunze coming to the Bears was a dream, right? Because you could pair him with Caleb Williams and look at that great chemistry. Oh, they get along. Aren't they having fun together? Who's going to block and protect the quarterback? Bill Belichick comes from an era where you build from the ball on out. And I think that it's boring, but it might be better. It's not exciting. But it might move the football. So I think the one thing you hear in Bill Belichick, I don't know if I heard so much as maybe we're looking for it that he didn't get the job. I hear when he talks about the Bears that he doesn't respect the franchise. He doesn't respect the way that they put the roster together. Maybe he just doesn't respect the Bears, period, because this is a roster that is flawed.
Let me push back on you there because I think Belichick is a historian. He loves the history of football. He's always like fawned over George Halas and the history of the franchise.
You're right.
So let me just protect him there for that moment. But does he think that this is a recipe for success and the way that this current roster is built doesn't feel that way?
That's probably a better way to put it. I don't know if he respects this team and its ability to win more than they lose the way the rest of us think that they will win more than they lose. We came into the season, playoff caliber Bears. We look at the schedule. Oh, it's an easy schedule. I could see 9-8. Hey, let's go to... Oh, but look at Caleb. Oh, that's 11-6. Oh, wait, maybe it's 12-5. Belichick saying, whoa, they can't even block a 4-man rush. Hold everything. When he says it, I think it echoes a little louder throughout the game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think with Bill making the rounds and media circles, people are listening because we just haven't heard him in this light. He has 37 jobs. Like, I don't know where he's getting all this time. And a new girlfriend.
Yeah, that's
kudos
true.
Kudos to Bill. He's doing it all.
He sounds like he's got some renewed energy there.
But I will say he's got Instagram. He's on InstaFace. He's doing all the things. So I think people are listening when Bill Belichick talks. And a lot of it's really I love listening to him on the Manning Cast. Mm-hmm. I think it's been really entertaining and educational. And he's shown a lot of personality that we have never seen.
He said some things that have been very interesting on the Manning Cast. We'll get to that maybe later. Right now, we have to get ready for Stacey Dales. And you want to keep listening for your chance to be part of a live studio audience for our September 25th broadcast, 5:30 to 10 at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Joined by, this is cool, Bulls head coach Billy Donovan. Breakfast with Billy during the 8 o'clock hour, all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. And this is also fun to consider Schmaltz Deli. Yes, spreading deli goodness everywhere, especially next Wednesday, September 25th. Keep listening. We'll give you a chance to join us. When we come back, Stacey Dales from the NFL Network will talk all things Bears. Ruthie Polinsky's in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's going to be hard to make this team now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started.
Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.